My dearly beloved in Christ, we come to the conclusion of the school year this week, and summer is a time that we all look forward to, but perhaps no one more so than students and teachers. We all need that time, that downtime, to relax, to recuperate. But it is very important that we also, during the summer, maintain our spiritual diligence. The temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil are around us all the time, throughout the year, but especially so during the summer, during the warm summer months. And so I would like to speak this morning about two things in particular. One is the occasions of sin and the importance of avoiding occasions of sin, and the other regarding modesty. So let us begin with a few comments on modesty. Something, again, that should be observed at all times, but especially to be on our toes during the summer season. Now, we look to our Blessed Mother. We just finished the month of May in which we honored our Blessed Mother with our rosaries, our devotions, and so forth. But let us remember that we especially honor our Blessed Mother by imitating her virtues. And Our Lady especially gives us an example of all the virtues, really, but in particular, we think of her humility, her purity, her modesty. And we must imitate our Blessed Mother in these virtues. We think of Mary-likeness is the very word that we use to indicate modesty. But especially for women and girls, to look to our Blessed Mother as their model, to practice this all-important virtue of modesty. Now, when we speak about standards of modesty, there are several things to keep in mind. First of all, that a dress or skirt is not modest if it's too short, that it must fully cover the knees when standing or seated. Also must not be low cut on top. So the standard is given that the blouse or shirt or dress should not go below the width of two fingers' breadth below the pit of the throat, should not be plunging in the front or on the back. But another aspect of modesty is the material. You should not wear clothing that is stretchy, that is so tight that it reveals the figure instead of conceals, as it should be. Modesty would be to conceal the figure, not unduly to expose the figure of the wearer. So the type of material. Also, when there are long dresses but have a slit in the side, that is not modest if the slit goes past the knees. So keep in mind the standards of modesty. Now, of course, for Mass, the house of God, being present in the house of God, this is where the greatest standard, or I should say a high bar, should be observed. But that doesn't mean that in other activities one can just throw the standards of modesty to the winds. There are certainly recreational activities, camping and things of that nature, where you wouldn't observe the same rigidity that you would in church. But modesty is always to be observed. Mary-likeness, avoiding becoming an occasion of sin to another. And also, modesty pertains to our manner of speaking, of movement, of behavior, in all areas, to imitate our Blessed Mother. So keep that in mind, especially during the summer months. Now, several years ago, I obtained a number of copies and put them out for you. So if you have it, I encourage you to pull it out of this wonderful little booklet, and it is called Whirlpools of Destruction, the Occasions of Sin, something we must be very conscious of. In fact, I think I'll obtain more copies and make them available to you. So I'd like to begin this section on the occasions of sin by reading the first few chapters of this booklet. At the southern tip of Italy, there is a narrow strait which separates the mainland from Sicily. Through this passage, the waters rush with raging force, forming just opposite the harbor of Messina, a whirlpool of such tremendous breadth and power that it is a navigational hazard even to large ships of the present day. In the course of centuries, this whirlpool, named Charybdis, entrapped many ships and dragged many a sailor to his death in its swirling depths. So feared was it that it was personified by the ancient Greeks as a sea monster with many necks and many mouths, reaching out to devour all who passed nearby. So too, in the moral life of man, there are whirlpools lurking along the way of life to drag him down and destroy his soul. These we call the occasions of sin. So I think that example is a very good comparison to what an occasion of sin is in the spiritual order or the moral order. We guard our physical life. We take care of our physical life. You lock your doors, or you are careful to make sure that your physical well-being is not endangered. But how many, even Catholics, are careless of their spiritual well-being and, without good reason, enter into the occasion of sin? So what exactly then is an occasion of sin? An occasion of sin is any person, place, or thing that would easily lead us into sin. Meaning you may, by going to certain places, find yourself in spiritual danger. Then that place is an occasion of sin. Certain things, such as a television or a computer or a book or magazine, can be an occasion of sin. Persons, bad companions, can be occasions of sin. Now we divide all occasions of sin into remote and proximate. A proximate occasion of sin is one in which a person very likely will fall into sin if he enters that occasion. A remote occasion is one which is not a source of strong temptation, and one might only rarely fall into sin by being around that remote occasion. So especially when it is a proximate occasion of sin, unless there is a very serious justifying reason, a person may not enter that. Now, there are some occasions of sin that are what we call necessary occasions, such as maybe your workplace, or going shopping, going out into the world. They're necessary things we must do. But we must avoid all unnecessary occasions of sin, and especially those that are proximate. Be very careful of these spiritual dangers. Now, we think about the wonderful, beautiful state of innocence. Children come into this world given by God, this beautiful quality, this state of innocence. And sometimes it's compared to a beautiful, white, fragrant lily. And what a terrible thing it is that a child's innocence is destroyed. Now you think of those words of our Lord. He said that it would be better for a man to have a millstone hanged about his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea rather than that he scandalize a little one. And you think about individuals who have been lost to hell, who perhaps lived lives of vice. They became enchained in vice, especially the vice of impurity. It had a beginning somewhere, and it was probably because of an occasion of sin. Or it might have been scandal that was given to that child, and so you realize those words of our Lord, why he said them, and what a terrible responsibility it is for one who scandalizes a child. But you think about those who commit the sin of scandal, those who are purveyors of all the smut that is available on movies and television and magazines and on the internet and so forth. What a terrible responsibility. But also even parents can become guilty before God of the sin of scandal, not so much by commission, but by omission, because they fail to give to provide the adequate supervision for their children. They allow their children too much leeway in entertainment and so forth. And they become guilty of scandal by omission, by allowing their children to be placed in an occasion of sin in which they fall and lose their innocence, and perhaps that first sin becomes the first of a chain of links, like links in a chain of many sins. The terrible thing about vice, especially vice of impurity, is that it is so hard to break once it is contracted, but also it hardens the heart. Many of those who at one time were practicing Catholics but gave up the practice of the faith, lost their faith, it was because of this vice more than anything else. It causes a loss of faith and a hardness of heart. So we all have to be careful with ourselves to avoid the unnecessary occasions of sin, to be very judicious and careful about entertainment, what we watch, what we read, and so forth. You take the internet. What a wonderful tool. There are many souls who have found the true faith by researching and reading our website and other traditional Catholic websites and doing research, and by prayer to our Blessed Mother, they found the truth by means of the internet. But this tool, which can be used for good, is sometimes the source of the loss of souls, of grievous sins against Almighty God, and ones that sadly, so often, lead to a vice, an addiction, which causes the loss of so many souls. So we must be careful, and parents, during the summer especially, but really always, to be very careful and supervise your children and be careful what they watch, what they read, entertainment, their companions, and guard that precious treasure of innocence. And if it has been lost, to recover it and guard it carefully, that the life of grace, the grace of God, the life of God within us,